What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Hey, Reese, Bibbs, put the game on, man. I'm trying to see what Luca and them boys gonna do tonight, man. Mavs Outsiders Podcast. Y'all know what time it is.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another edition of the Mavs Outsiders Podcast. I'm one half of your host, Maurice Williams, a.k.a. Mind of Reese, MMR25 on Twitter, X if you're nasty. Joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Bibbs, Michael Bibbins, a.k.a. Bibbs, at Bibbs Corner on Twitter, X if you're nasty. BibbsCorner.com for all of your Bibbs Corner content. Whole backlog of movie content as far as podcasts go. On the Have You Seen podcast, check that out. You know, you still muted, can't hear you.
I realized as soon as I said, I was like, damn sure ain't getting nothing new no time soon.
Yeah, no time, sir. No time, sir. most of the goddamn movie reviews are here now for the most part,
yeah,
for the time being. This is the first episode we are recording of the main show while the playoffs are going on. Dallas Mavericks are currently tied 1-1 with the Los Angeles Clippers after last night's game. W on the road. Very long fucking game. But for the people on the East Coast, finished at almost 1 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
I know people overseas, I saw someone posted. Can't remember who it was. That the game started, I think, like 2 o'clock, 4 o'clock, something like that. Might have been 4 o'clock. 4 o'clock AM.
3:30, 4 o'clock, yeah.
Tough time. I mean, the people on the West Coast, they're fine. Like, game started at fucking 7 o'clock for them. So,
yeah.
Congratulations. But it was a stressful game, to say the least. I wasn't even sure if you were still up, because I'm like, this motherfucker ain't tweeted nothing. This motherfucker ain't texted nothing. He ain't said nothing. I said, maybe he just trying to chill, watch the game. Maybe he got something going on while he watching the game. He watching it with his lady or something. I don't know. I don't know your thoughts on the game at all. I was tweeting. Everybody else was tweeting. I'm used to being the one not tweeting and you tweeting. So I'm going to kick it to you immediately. Just instant reaction.
I have a confession.
You ain't watched the game?
I mean, I kind of watched it.
Kinda.
So the game was on my phone.
Okay.
Which was on a stand in front of me.
Okay.
But the two last episodes of Attack on Titan were on the television screen.
Oh shit. It was Attack on Titan time with the fiance.
With the subtitles.
Damn.
So it was hard to do both. Damn. I was following the score the whole time. But yeah, I had planned to like go back and rewatch it, but that shit went so late. And the way my day went today at work, I was like, it is what it is. I watched the last like 3 minutes live, like on the TV, because we finished Attack on Titan. But
I'm about to say, how many episodes of Attack on Titan did y'all watch?
It was the last two.
Oh, you mean like the hour long?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It was pretty much the same length as the game. Yeah. We kept getting pushed back on the start, or I would have at least caught the second half, but nah.
Of all games, it's crazy. Well, I'll go over it for the most part. The Dallas Mavericks defeated the Los Angeles Clippers 96-93. Personally, I need to say this. I love these low scoring playoff games so far. It's been some defense involved in most of them, and you can tell, and I'll kind of point this out in this game. As far as defense goes, the refs are letting a lot of things go. Like they're letting teams really play some physical defense for the most part. But Dallas Mavericks defeat the Clippers 96-93 behind 32 points from Luka Doncic, shooting 11 of 26 from the field, 5 of 14 from three with 6 rebounds, 9 assists, 1 block, and 1 steal. Playing 46 minutes. Kyrie Irving playing 42 minutes, gave us 23 points with 6 rebounds, 3 assists, 8 of 18 from the field, and 4 of 8 from 3. Derrick Jones Jr. doubled his minutes from last game, played 32 minutes this game, gave us much more on offense than he did last game, gave us 10 points, 7 rebounds, 4 of 6 from the field. No threes for him, but he still put points on the board. PJ Washington, man, 35 minutes, 18 points, 6 rebounds, 5 for 10 from the field, 3 for 4 from 3. Daniel Gafford in the starting lineup only logged 9 minutes, which we'll get to. The bench, only 13 points from the bench as a whole. Both came from Derek Lively and Maxi Kleber. Derek Lively with 7 points, 9 rebounds, played 21 minutes. Maxi Kleber with 28 minutes, 6 rebounds, 6 points. Josh Green also logged 14 minutes off the bench, providing 14, I said 14, 7 rebounds. Also got 4 fucking fouls in that time, but still, shout out to Josh Green. Tim Hardaway Jr. with 6 minutes, left the game early with a sprained ankle. Shout out to Tim. Get well soon. Dante Exum, 6 minutes only, was not injured. Question mark. We'll get into it. For the little bit that you did see.
Yeah, I mean, I followed the game. I wouldn't speak confidently how I normally would on certain things.
Okay.
You kind of touched on the first thing that kind of stood out for me, and it is Dante Exum, not being a contributor. We talked about last game, barely noticing he was on the court at any point in time. This game barely played, and because he barely played, I feel like that's why Luka and Kyrie played so much. That's a problem for me. Exum gotta get his shit together. I don't know if it's gonna be better for him at home or what the situation is, but I need Exum to be able to spell Luka and Kyrie for some time. I don't need him to be play crazy basketball. If he's playing good defense, if he's making good decisions with the ball in his hand, that's fine. I believe, based on what people were saying, they think that he's being benched because he's afraid to shoot, which apparently is contagious in Dallas. And we just can't have a playoff series without somebody that we need to shoot the ball being afraid to shoot the ball. So that's the first thing that kind of stood out for me. Second thing is PJ Washington. It makes me feel good to see something I was super loud about
Very early on as well.
and be play out well. And honestly, the way he's playing, the way he's talking, like he talked about the physicality, like he loves that. Like he's enjoying that. And you can see it. It's showing up on the court. He's not just saying words, like he's genuinely into this. And this is part of the reason why I liked him in college. I hate Kentucky players, but there was something about him that I was like, you know what, this dude, he's not a traditional guy. That's like he wasn't out there going off for 30 and this, that, and the third, but he seemed like a really heady guy, competitive guy, and the type of guy that you need as a role player on a championship type team. I think that he knows he's in a good spot. He knows he's not expected to do too much. He's ready to go out here, do the dirty work, and complement Luka and Kyrie. It feels amazing to have not only the number two in Kyrie, But to have a legit high level role player and be able to depend on him. Like I'm super locked in with PJ at this point.
I agree. I think this playoffs, he's turned the corner and turned into a legit two-way player for us. We see him defending everything from the one to the four, five if necessary. He's locking up more so in the regular season. We saw him locking up his matchups, positional matchups for the most part, but he's really stepped it up in the postseason, and it hasn't taken away from his offensive game either. Yesterday, I saw him not afraid to shoot the ball, not afraid to attack the rim, not afraid to attack closeouts. He did get that floater off. Just like in the last game, he got one of them floaters off. I'm like, hey, one floater from PJ and it goes in, I'm happy. That shows me that he's probably working on it. But not afraid to shoot the ball. He's aggressive on the – first of all, shout out to the entire team, man. Aggressive on the defensive glass. I noticed it all game, like outside of Derek Lively's aggressive on the defensive glass. I would just like to see him more aggressive on the offensive glass, because there's times I see him where he may not have the guy boxed out, but there's a position where he can fight for the board, but he just gives it up.
Gotcha.
I'd rather see him try to fight for it, and I know Daniel Gafford does fight for those boards. The Daniel Gafford and Derek Lively are the same in so many aspects as far as what they give us on defense, but as far as what they give us on offense is so different. And I mean, that's okay, but that's not a here nor there right now. The team as a whole made sure they closed out possessions, got the boards. I saw Luka and Kyrie pushing the pace on the fast break off of defensive boards. Let me look it up actually, to see the offensive rebounds that the Clippers got. Because I have ESPN pulled up right now. Let's see. Oh, wow. Dang.
That was quick.
I'd have never guessed. The Clippers had 14 offensive rebounds. We had 11.
Okay.
We had 39 defensive rebounds. They had 33. They did have more fast break points than us, which I expected. I mean, we didn't get a lot of fast break points, but they did attempt to push the pace a lot. But we had 7 blocks, 8 steals. They had 9 steals, 4 blocks. Defense was the key this game. Throughout the game, I think I tweeted it at one point. I said, our defense is keeping us in the game, but our offense is keeping them in the game. The offense, it wasn't nearly as bad as it was that first half in game one. It started coming together more in the second half, but that zone that the Clippers were running and blitzing Luka and putting two on Luka right away, it seemed like they had trouble moving the ball out of that until they started doing the two-man action with Kyrie and Luka. Luka would give the ball to Kyrie. Someone would set an off-ball screen for Luka to get the switch on to Harden or Westbrook. Luka would come around, post up. Kyrie is there, one pass away. So either they give Luka the one-on-one post up or they double. He kicks it to Kyrie, and when he did kick it to Kyrie, Kyrie knocked down a three. I'm glad Jason Kidd made that adjustment. Actually ran some kind of set on offense, because it was kind of hard to watch sometimes every time they would throw two at Luka, and sometimes the people aren't even moving on the court. No one's coming towards the ball. It's frustrating. It's not much action going on. But I think the offense still needs some work. Obviously, others got involved. I'm not expecting much from the bench, especially if Dante Exum isn't going to be playing much. Maxi Kleber was much better this game, whether it be on defense, getting rebounds, shooting the ball in timely situations. I would like to see more from Dante Exum on offense. I would like to see more from Josh Green on offense, because I'm going to be honest, I still don't know what the fuck Josh be doing out there, man. Like, it's still those aggressive-ass drives to the basket that result in fucking nothing. Like, not even a shot.
He got fouled in the first game when he was doing it, but I think, I don't know, I have some thoughts about Josh Green that I'll hold on to unless you want me to go into it right now.
Yeah, let's go into it.
Yeah, I think for him, it's disappointing that he hasn't settled into who he is yet. It's encouraging that he's playable in this series. I think he played 14 minutes this game, so 5 more minutes than he did the previous game, likely due to the Tim Hardaway Jr. injury, which I looked at the replay. It really didn't look that bad as far as the tweak. It did go to the outside, so I don't know. I don't know if that was the foot that he injured previously either, so I don't know what's going on internally.
Yes.
Foot mechanism. but I would like to see Josh get some shots to fall. I think somebody pointed out he hasn't made a shot yet. Dwight from 21 going on 77 pointed out he hasn't made a shot yet, but that he has been effective in his minutes. Flying around, his activity is always going to be good, especially in a series with a bunch of old ass dudes on the other side. Like, Westbrook is Westbrook. He's still going to be with the energy. He's getting loose balls and stuff like that. You need somebody out there that's doing the dirty work. And Josh is willing to do that. He's willing to switch 2, 3, 4 times on a possession. He's willing to cover somebody's missed assignment. Like, he has value. I'm glad to see him getting PT. Even if it is at the expense of Dante Exum disappearing and Tim getting hurt. It'll be curious to see if Jason Kidd does anything during these days off to try to get him going even a little bit offensively, whether it's the shot or designing some plays for him to get to the rim. Because there's value in that one way or another. You talked about the defense as well. First game, from what I saw, that we've won where we scored less than 100 points. I think we were 0-8 during the season. That's huge. And the fact that we're able to hold an opponent under 100 is a testament to the defense improving. Talked about PJ, talked about DJJ. It was Mark Folliwell posted the defensive stats as far as field goals defended for everybody. They hunted Luka in this game.
Mm-hmm.
Luka held opponents to 6 for 24 shooting on the day when he was one of the primary defenders. So 25% from the field when they attacked Luka was not effective. Second most attacked player was PJ Washington. He held them to 7 for 19. That's 36%. I'll live with that, especially because he's most likely guarding their best players, Kawhi, PG, stuff like that.
Tough shots are going to go in at times.
Right. Like, those guys are going to hit shots. It is what it is, but you made them work for it.
It's plenty of times I saw even Kawhi not looking 100% or PG getting shots, and I'm like, good defense, there's nothing you can do about that.
Maxey was the third, and we talked about it. The idea of getting PJ Washington was not to completely make Maxey useless, but to give Maxey help, to put somebody in front of Maxey so that Maxey has less of those assignments, but can still operate because he's still slightly useful on that side. He was the next most hunted. He held matchups to 3 for 17, 17% from the field. PJ and Maxey together looking sexy right now. Keeping Maxey under 30 minutes, beautiful. Played 27 this game, if I'm not mistaken. The next person was Kyrie. I won't go down the full list, but the next person was Kyrie. 6 for 12 against Kyrie. I live with that.
Yeah.
It was in an automatic bucket.
And he was defending with their best players on the court. He was defending Harden for most of the game.
Funny one. Sorry, Tim Hardaway Jr. 1 for 1. They went at Tim once and got the bucket. Let me stop. As far as like other guys, quickly, Derek Jones Jr., 55%. They were 5 for 9 attacking him. Daniel Gafford, 1 for 4. And Derek Lively, 3 for 8, 37%. So,
You mentioned Derek Jones Jr. I want to give him a shout out as well. Only took 1 3 in the game, didn't make it, but still put up 10 points for us. He also was not afraid to put the ball on the floor and attack closeouts, which is very important. Because especially for him, his athleticism alone, a guy like that attacking the basket, the defense kind of has to respect it, and it gives a chance to collapse the defense, and then you can kick it out to guys like Luka and Kyrie, as opposed to guys like Luka and Kyrie kicking it out to everybody else. You have more trusted shooters out there with Luka and Kyrie. I would like to see him be more aggressive with wanting to shoot the three, because that way teams will respect it more. Even if it's not going in, still shoot it.
Yeah.
But I do appreciate the fact that he can give us something on offense in other ways. He was one of the guys crashing the boards aggressively as well. I think I mentioned that he had 7 rebounds along with his 10 points, 4 of 6 from the field. So he had, I believe it was 1 or 2. He had a fast break bucket. He had a putback. And I can't remember where the other 2 buckets came from. But yeah, shout out to Derek Jones Jr. Zubats was not very effective this game.
Excuse me.
Avisa Zubats, as opposed to last game where he damn near dominated, was not very effective for the Clippers this game. Didn't even play in the closing lineup for the most part, if I can remember. He came away with 13 points, 12 rebounds, which is kind of a typical Avisa Zubats game. I believe the closing lineup was James Harden, Terrence Mann, Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, and Russell Westbrook, or Norman Powell. I can't remember. It was pretty, huh?
I might be able to see that. Let's see.
It was a small ball lineup for the most part. We had Maxi Kleber out there at center. That's our small ball center. With PJ Washington, Derek Jones Jr., Kyrie, and Luka.
I see a Zubac dunk with 45 seconds left.
Really? Oh, wait. Yes. I remember that dunk. Yes, he did play in the closing lineup.
He did come out after that for Terrence Mann, offense, defense, most likely.
Yeah.
He came back in on the next possession.
Someone who did not play. Daniel Gafford. Now, you could attribute it for the most part to the fact that he did leave the game a bit with a bit of a back injury, but he came back. He didn't look too bad as far as like health, but it's starting to look like Daniel Gafford cannot play much in this series, which is fine in a case like this, because we have a Derek Lively who's showing that he can play, and they give us mostly the same thing as far as defense. I've said it before, I'll say it again. I really want Derek Lively to get more aggressive on offense and finish stronger. I guess that'll come with years of experience and getting in the weight room, but so many missed opportunities, so many missed buckets for him because he doesn't finish strong enough, but I'll let it go for now. Do you think it'll be a problem if Daniel Gafford is quote-unquote unplayable in this series, or do you think he has a chance to bounce back in these 2 home games?
So, I would like for him to be playable. I would like for him to get back to being who he is. I saw a clip of Dwight kind of giving him the pep talk on the sidelines. He's frustrated. I personally appreciate the frustration.
Yeah.
Again, he's another guy who I think is smart. He thinks the game, and he's not just going to roll over. Am I in Baltimore? What the hell going on outside my window?
What you talking about?
Like, I'm pretty sure it's a motorcycle or an ATV or something going.
First of all, they ride dirt bikes around this motherfucker. Relax. Not motorcycles.
But it's just the sound of an engine revving, like somebody speaking.
Maybe it's that motherfucker with the motorcycle coming back.
And maybe it is because I don't even be here, and he seems to find a way. But it's all right. What was I even talking about? Damn. Oh,
Gafford.
Yeah. I think he's the type of guy that he's not just going to roll over and accept defeat. I think he is going to try to find a way to be effective, to be helpful for this team, even if it's just taking fouls against Zubac. Or giving Derek Lively rest, bare minimum, like in a worst case scenario type deal. I can live with that. I think we need him long term if we're trying to make a run. So I don't want to see his confidence completely shot. I don't want to see him injured either. I feel like he's been taking a lot of nicks and dings.
Yeah.
Going back to the end of the regular season in the Charlotte game, he hit the ground a few times looking at his legs and stuff like that. Now we're talking about his back. I don't want to see him get hurt, but I also don't want to see him mentally be frozen out. And I think we're at our best when he's effective. The more effective he is, the more I know our offense is flowing like it's supposed to. And so I would like to get that back. It's beautiful, however, to see us win despite that, because I know that we haven't played our best ball yet. And that excites me a little bit.
Yeah, as far as like, the offense goes. What I like about Derek Lively on offense is his ability to make those passes from the post or from the free throw area. He's very good at finding those corner shooters or shooters on the wing. Daniel Gafford doesn't really have that, but I think as far as the interior presence and interior scoring, we do miss that from Gafford. We don't really get it from, we damn sure don't get it from Maxey. And we don't get it from Derek Lively either. So a bounce back for him in games 4 or 5 or both, not necessary, but it will be helpful, because there was a point during the season after we got him where we were saying, hey, we're getting like 14, 15 points per game from our centers combined. Like that's a lot. That's important. And we're not really getting that right now. So, yeah, both of them are needed. Daniel Gafford is definitely needed, but I will be disappointed if he can't play in the series, because we're never going to be better without him. But we have been surviving without him. And I think that's a credit to Maxey and Lively. But, yeah, let's hope that Al Horford bounces back in games 4 and 5. Speaking of which, I'm looking at Al Horford.
I was like, what?
I was looking at Al Horford playing defense, and I'm like, what the fuck? Daniel Gafford. If we had Al Horford, that would be dope.
Al Horford, but I got you.
Yeah. If we had Al Horford, that would be dope. Instead of Maxey. Speaking of game four is Friday, 8 p.m. Eastern time. Game three, yes. I kept saying games 4 and 5. Why the fuck?
You just said 4 and 5. I heard it once.
I said it twice. I know for a fact I said it twice.
I was going to let the one I heard slide, but yeah.
I said it twice. Games 3 and 4. Game 3 is Friday, 8 p.m. Eastern time. Dallas has tied the series, and now they get to go back to back at home. Role players play better at home is what they say. I mean, it seems true for the most part. You see how the fuck the role players played for the Clippers in game 1, goddammit. A lot of those same shots weren't falling this game. That's a credit to the defense. What are your expectations?
Expectations?
As far as the role, let me not say expectations. What do you want to see, whether it be something you want to continue to see from the team or something we have not seen?
I want to see the Daniel Gafford get right. That's the big key. A dunk early in the game, a big block, whatever the case is. The crowd loves him, and I feel like that can get him his spirits back on the right track. I want to see Josh Green or Dante Exum be a factor offensively. corner three here, corner three there from either one of those guys is going to make me happy. I don't think we can survive without at least one of them being comfortable and helpful. If Exum specifically, we need him as that third ball handler. And I'm hoping a home arena situation gets that right. I don't know how Jason Kidd's going to play it based on how the last game went, but I don't know why this matchup is difficult for him.
I'm not sure either. I saw someone on Twitter say, like, size, but he's like 6'6", 6'7".
Not small. And yeah, they're not small. A quick team. If it's a speed thing, so I don't understand.
I don't understand either. Because he hasn't really been ineffective on defense. So maybe it's the offense. So maybe being at home, he'll be more comfortable being in front of the crowd, get things going, get his confidence up. I do agree with the Daniel Gafford take. I think I would like to see at the beginning of the game us get him involved early, kind of, in some pick and roll action, some lobs or some dump downs to him just to get quick buckets. We usually do that. We were doing it in a regular season a lot. Obviously, this is the playoffs. Things are different. Team scheming against one another every night. So, but I would like to see Daniel Gafford get involved early. Could get his confidence up. Could affect how he plays on defense. Could affect the Clippers' defense to play him differently, which could open it up for shooters around the wings and corners. I need more from Dante Exum on offense. I think Dante Exum is very important because watching last night, even though it didn't show in his ability to score and play defense, Luka was gassed. I fucking saw it. He was a little tired. It didn't affect his play, thank God, but he was tired. Playing 46 minutes it's a lot, especially to the level he was playing as far as offense and defense. Now, y'all can never say that he can't do it because we saw that he can for 46 fucking minutes, but that's neither here nor there either. But Dante Exum is very important for giving guys like Kyrie and Luka that rest. So I need him to come out on offense. I would love to see the stats of how he plays at home as opposed to on the road. I'm not going to go and think you the stat. You always looking it up. I'm pretty sure you'll find it, but
I can get to it, but I'm pretty sure.
I would like to see the minutes distribution as far as the bench, because I'm going to assume Tim will not be available for Friday. That's just an assumption. And to be quite honest, even if he is, I don't need to see him. I think I've seen enough at this point. Like, the shot he got hurt on, he could not wait to shoot the ball. Like, he had been in the game for a little bit. They got the ball to him. He could not wait to put up a fucking shot. Unfortunately, he got hurt on it, but and it wasn't a good look. But it was a tip. Damn, I got the hiccups. Like,
the tip. I was like, oh shit, they shot Reese. They got him. Oh snap.
Yeah, it was a typical Tim shot. So who knows? Maybe Tim could get going at home. I don't.
Offensively, honestly, not well.
At home,
his unassisted shot volume is up at home. Like he's more aggressive, I guess, at home. 4 3-point field goal. Hold on. 100% of his threes are assisted on the road. On the road, he does not pull out. He never pulled up on the road.
Okay.
Only 4% unassisted at home. So it happened at home, but not much. 2-point field goal percentage unassisted. Also pretty dramatic gap. So it was 36% unassisted on the field goals made versus 28 on the road. And then as far as 2-pointers, I just had it. Now I'm pissed. All right, where'd it go? 2-pointers, it was 54% at home unassisted and 41% on the road unassisted. he's slightly better at home.
Okay.
From what I can see here.
Maybe that takes a leap in the playoffs. We'll see. But Dante asked him, if you listening to this, we need you, brother. I'm looking in the camera and I'm telling you this man to man, we need you. You're very important to this series and this team. We need you to show up. If role players play better at home, we need you to show us.
Yeah.
Okay. I think the offense could be better. I would like to see more actions and sets from the jump as opposed to late in the game. After we like, they're gonna send two at Luka. They're never gonna let Luka play one on one the whole game. It's not gonna fucking happen. Get some sets early to get some role players open. You don't even have to get Luka open. Luka is gonna get his own regardless. And once the role players get going, it's gonna open the game up for Luka as well because they have to start respecting those guys as far as shooting goes. I just would like to see Jason Kidd get the offense going early. Have the guys more prepared coming out the gate as opposed to the second fucking half where we're finally making adjustments. I guess that would necessarily be my key to victory in game three. Getting the offense going early, getting the role players going early, because Luka and Kyrie are going to get theirs regardless. Especially, I would need Kyrie to come out the gate. Like, I don't need second half Kyrie. Like, I don't know what the fuck you be doing at halftime. I don't know what sages you be fucking. I need Kyrie to be second half Kyrie at the start of the fucking game. That's all I'm asking.
Okay.
What personally would be. You don't have to give just one. You can give just one if you want, if you have more than one. Key or keys to victory in game three for the Mavericks?
First thing I would say is don't let Zubac get off. We have to contain Zubac first. And then the second thing is I still think James Harden is the biggest threat on the other side. So continue to play him. To his right, and do not sag off on the wings. Stay locked in on defense. Don't let the little things beat us, and most importantly, don't let Zubac beat us. We can't afford that. If Paul George, Kawhi, or James Harden want to get hot and go crazy, let them do it. Tired of old ass bodies out. I can't see it happening for four games, but we'll see. I guess three. We only got three more left. I don't know. I that's the defensive side. Now on the offensive side, again, biggest thing is Exum. I want to see Exum spell Luka and Kyrie so that they don't get run into the ground. I expect a lot of this other stuff I see to continue, the good stuff.
I agree. Question. Should Derek Lively start?
No.
Okay. Fair enough. I don't think so either, because I think once you put Gafford on the bench, it might hurt his confidence and stuff like that. It's very possible. But I think you stick with Gafford. And, you know, if it's not working, just sub him out and put Lively in.
You want to beat everybody in game two? We don't have to spend that too much time on it since we already kind of talked.
You said, do I want to what?
grade them like we did after game one?
Sure. Yeah.
All right, Luka.
Ten.
I'm going 9.
Okay.
Feel like he still has room for improvement. Kyrie.
I think there's, I mean, as far as Luka goes, I think there's still room for improvement as well. But the what he gave us on defense, I just had to give him a 10. Kyrie, 8, maybe a 7. I just, the slow one. Starts, 7. Right. The slow starts are just, it's, they can't keep having it.
I'm going with a 9. Yeah. I'm still holding him to that number 2 level, and he did his job, so I'm happy. Going to the others, PJ.
10.
I'm going to also stick with a 10. Maxie.
8.
Check something real quick. So the 8 for Maxie.
Yeah. Wasn't afraid to shoot it down the stretch when we needed it. Defense was very good. If it wasn't for him, we don't win that game. He got a timely rebound as well. So I think he came prepared.
Give him a 9.
Still would like to see some improvements as far as like his aggressiveness shooting the ball throughout the entire game and not just down the stretch, but for the most part, yeah.
I'm going to hold him to the standard I held him to before, since he's pretty much playing the same role. Minutes-wise, I need him to go 2 for 5. He went 2 for 4. I'm giving him a 9. He did his job on defense as well. Could probably go to a 10, but I'm going to go to a 9. I'm holding him to a higher standard. Lively.
Nine. Just because, you know, too many missed opportunities on offense. There was a fast break. Like, the Mavs were on a run, hitting threes. We got a steal on the fast break. I think it was Luka or Kyrie that gets the oop to Lively, and he blows it. And they got the ball back. If that oop goes in, Ty Lue is forced to call a timeout. He has to. Like, Mavs going to run. Lead was getting bigger. Moments like that, you got to keep your foot on their neck. We need him to do more on offense. And I don't want to say do more. I think people understand when I say do more. Like, be more aggressive. Take advantage of those opportunities you have. So I'll give him an 8.
All right. You said an 8 for Lively. All right. You said a 9 initially, I thought.
Did I?
Yeah.
I'm going 8.
All right. So 8 for Lively. I'm going to give him a 9 just because I'm not holding him to that high of a standard. I did his job as the backup big, even though he had to step into kind of a starter minute role. DJJ.
9. Would like to see him take more threes, not be afraid to take the threes, but he didn't give us an absolute 0 on offense, so I'm going to give him a 9. To get to that 10, I just need to see him take more shots, more threes.
I'm going to give him an 8, same reason. I like that he, like you said, put it on the floor and was not a complete 0 defensive or offensively, but he's got to be willing to take those shots too.
Yeah.
Not statistically relevant, Tim, do you feel the need to give him a grade at all?
No, I don't think it's fair to do so.
All right, I'm going to skip him. We were already hard on him anyway. Exum, also technically not statistically relevant, but
yeah, I guess you could give him a low grade if he would have played more if he had a high grade if he came ready. Like we said, we need more from him. I'll give him a 5, just like I feel like that's neutral. Rivals 5, yeah, I'll give him a 5.
All right, I'm going to not give him a grade because I didn't even see him.
You're about to say you ain't even see him.
I did not see him. Gafford.
Hard to grade as well.
I was going to say he's, go, 10 minutes as well.
Yeah, I'm going to go neutral because, like, he wasn't out of the game solely because he couldn't play. He was also, like, he got hurt at one point, so.
Okay. So you said you're not grading him?
Yeah, I'm not going to grade him.
And Josh?
An 8. I'm going to give him an 8. I would like to see him more controlled on offense as far as those drives go. I want you to drive with a purpose, not just drive because you feel like you have to. But he wasn't afraid to take the shots that he was given as far as three-pointers go. They didn't fall, but he wasn't afraid to take them, and that's what I like to see. And his energy on defense was fantastic. So, yeah, I'm going to give him an 8.
Okay. I didn't grade Jack Gafford either, by the way. And giving Josh a 7, I think I said last time 7 is my I'm not mad. I would like to see, or you did enough for me not to feel any type of way, really. I do want to see more from him as far as hitting shots and, like you said, being more controlled offensively. Last game, he got the 10 from both of us, I believe. No, I get he got a 9 from me last time. But he got a 9 and a 10 from us because he wasn't expected to play. He got in there. He was effective in the minutes he played. Now you're in the rotation. Now you got to show me something. So dropping down to a 7. I would like to see more in the next game. But overall, I'm looking at these grades. And as far as guys we're comfortable with, it's Luka, Kyrie, PJ, Lively, DJJ. Luka, Kyrie, PJ, Lively, DJJ, and Josh. That's the 6 that have gotten a 7 or higher average so far. Maxie, for me, is at a 5.5. For you, he's at a 4. Exum is at a 6 for you. He still got the 7 for me, but he got a 0 from the last game because I didn't grade him. Gafford, you got a 7 from you, or a 7 from me first game, 8 from you, no grade in the second game due to statistical relevance. Tim, no statistical relevance. So really, we got 6 guys that we feel okay about right now, and we have 2 guys that have some work to do to get our faith back as far as Maxie and Exum. Gafford, we need to get him back to statistical relevance in the next game. Tim, don't know. But yeah, that's where we stand right now. I'm going to continue to do this, I guess, throughout the series just to kind of see if we can give out series grades at the end. We'll go from there.
I like that idea. Speaking of giving things out, put out a tweet recently that we were giving out tickets to game 4. In Dallas against the Clippers.
Yes.
A lot of people submitted why they felt like they should go. A lot of people. And we do have a winner to announce. Hopefully this person actually listened to the podcast and didn't just want tickets to the fucking game. But the winner for the game 4 tickets goes to, now, if I fuck this up,
I'm gonna see what you do.
This is their at, right?
Yeah.
Okay. At Sosa Harry 79. That is SOSAHERI 79.
And his name is at Sosa Hue. With the hands on Twitter. So, yeah.
I'm just mad you did the hands physically. for my wrestling fans who watch NXT, Chase University. Anyway, let them know what they have to do in order to receive.
So, if you're listening, hopefully you're listening, but if you're listening, send me your email address. We'll get the ticket sent over. I believe you get a voucher with this as well. And it was hard. I think we both saw the entries coming in and we're like, oh, damn, what are we about to do? Because, you know, a lot of people, I wish I could get everybody tickets, to be honest. I wish we had it like that. These were donated by a follower, though. And his only stipulation was that he wanted somebody to have the time of their life type of thing, like a once in a lifetime type situation, first game, whatever the case may be, is kind of what we were looking for. Throughout the course of this, I had Sosa, I mean, he put it on Twitter, so I guess it's public. He mentioned that his wife is in a wheelchair and they can never get tickets in the wheelchair accessible areas. They're always sold out. And he said his wife has never been to a game with his son. And I checked, and the section that the tickets are in is wheelchair accessible. So it was a no-brainer for me. Reese also was struggling, and I put that on the table.
Struggling bad.
Put down the table, and it was a no-brainer for both of us. I'm hoping we make somebody's day here. So we'll get that transferred over. It is Sunday, which is great. It's a weekend day. I don't know. I like being able to do stuff like this. So shout out to the follower that sent the tickets. He didn't say anything about wanting to be mentioned, so I won't do that. But thank you for allowing us to do this.
Yeah. I like being able to help people or do this for people. It's just the going through process is tough for me, man. It's tough. So many stories. I wish I was rich. I'd get all of y'all tickets. Honestly.
Facts.
But shout out to you. Hopefully you're listening. You claim your tickets. If not, we'll reach out to you. Probably should do that actually very soon, because game two is like
Tuesday. Yeah, I'm gonna try to get it out tonight.
Right, game four is like Tuesday.
It's Sunday.
Really? Yeah, it is Sunday. It's early Sunday. Yeah.
Yeah, so I'll reach out tomorrow.
Okay.
After the episode's out and whatnot.
Cool. So there's something I want to mention.
Okay.
Absent from last week's episode. Was the unsung hero of the season award. Now, as you all know, we missed a chunk of the season due to personal reasons. So there were a lot of unsung hero of the week awards that I missed that didn't really get tallied up. So here's what I'm going to do. We're going to leave it up to y'all. There's going to be a poll out on Thursday asking people. Actually, should I put a poll? No, I'm going to put a poll out, because if I ask y'all to tweet me, that means I got to count the tweets. No, I'm going to put a poll out. I'm going to put a poll out that'll probably last like a day. And I'm going to allow you guys to vote on who you think should be the unsung hero of the season. And here are going to be the candidates. PJ Washington. Daniel Gafford. Derek Lively. Derek Jones Jr.
That's going to be tough.
Now, I went based off of people who got the award this season. I would have loved to put Dante Exum in, but unfortunately, there wasn't a week where I gave him the unsung hero of the week award. Okay. Grant Williams got two, but we're not even about to do that.
No comment.
We're not about to do that. So, again, it'll be Derek Jones Jr., Derek Lively, Daniel Gafford, Paul Jermaine Washington Jr.
That's what we're doing.
That's what we're doing.
All right. We should probably do the Patreon poll as well and let that be the tiebreaker.
If there is a tiebreaker.
Yeah.
If there is a tiebreaker. Yeah. Okay. That will be announced next week.
Celtics trying to post up KP. They wildin'.
Yeah, I see that right now. He's not about to do. He faced up immediately. Like, do they not know who this guy? He had Caleb Martin on.
Yeah, that's he fell over on his face just now.
Shout out to the Miami Heat for fighting in this game, man. They up right now. No Jimmy Buck. Yeah. So I just wanted to put that out there that that poll will be out. I guess that's it for the Mavs talk. Anything been going on? Any catching up? I haven't seen any movies. I haven't been watching. I haven't tuned into any new shows at all. So I really don't have much to catch up on. There are movies I want to see. It's hard with the playoffs because I really want to watch basketball. And on days where I would like to record, I mean, not like, to record, go to the movies, it sometimes lands on days where the Mavs play. So that's tough. Monkey Man is still on my list to see.
Damn, you still ain't seen Monkey Man?
No, it's still, that's, I got to see that first because I know it's going to be gone.
I'm about to say, is it still in the
theater? Yeah, it is. All
right.
I might go tomorrow, actually. Okay. The Ungentlemanly Warfare movie.
I think I'm going to try to see that tomorrow.
Okay. Challengers with Zendaya comes out this week.
I ain't watching that shit.
Damn, why you say it like that?
I don't like Zendaya. And
damn, what the?
Zendaya.
We talked about Dune extensively, and you never said you ain't like Zendaya.
I ain't say I like Dava, so I don't know. I she ain't, she don't do much for me in any way, as an actress or as a heartthrob like lust factor. There's just nothing there for me.
Fair enough.
And this movie looked like some shit that's gonna make me uncomfortable, so I'm good.
All right. Moving on. What's the dude that made the fucking Joaquin Phoenix movie last year that you hated?
Ari Aster.
That movie he has with the Sasquatches. I might go see that shit.
I gotta wait for some reviews. He is not about to get me again. Because I will find him and I will put him.
He's not directing it, though.
What did he, did he write it?
I think he produced it.
Okay. That might be different.
I think he produced it. It's called Sasquatch Sunset. It's an hour and 30 minutes of R-rated comedy. Like, I'll check it out.
Yeah, check that out. I'm going to wait till I hear back because his name attached, it's going to give me a bad taste in my mouth. I can't give him more money to do bullshit.
Anything else out? Obviously, you know for a fact I am not gonna go see Abigail, but I've heard good things about it.
Okay.
Are you interested in saying it at all?
There is something else out.
What?
Is it Late Night with the Devil?
Yes, with David DeSmalchin.
So, Tyler said it was fire. And Mike, let me see here. My boy Mike said he was falling asleep during it, but Tyler said it was one of his favorite movies of the year. But it's on Shudder, so Tyler gave me his Shudder info, so I got to check it out.
Okay, all right.
I got to check it out.
Yeah, it's all on the.
Lady does not watch horror movies though, so I'm probably gonna find some time to watch it by myself.
That's all on the agenda for me. I'll probably try to knock two of those out this week. Monkey Man for sure.
Watch Monkey Man, man.
Yeah, Monkey Man for sure. Unfortunately, it came out when I went to Philly. So it was like,
oh,
couldn't really see it then when it first came out.
You ain't listened to no reviews yet, have you?
No.
Okay.
Nah.
Okay.
I've avoided them. I have avoided reviews. Anything for you?
Just Attack on Titan. The lady enjoyed it, loved it.
How does she feel about the ending?
So I didn't catch it, I guess, the first time, or maybe I was just too distracted. But she pointed out, spoilers for Attack on Titan, by the way. I don't know if that's a thing we have to say, but maybe skip ahead. So the thing with Emir, the founder, and Mikasa.
Yes.
And basically, how does she identify with Mikasa? And we realized that when Mikasa was kissing Eren, the head, it was juxtaposed with Emir's wedding to King Fritz, and the idea of the unrequited love, the love, having love for this dude that does not see you, basically, and going to war for him regardless.
I don't know how you missed that. They basically told us.
Who was they?
Like, they literally said she loved him.
I wasn't paying attention.
Clearly.
I was
like, it's in the dialogue.
I was trying to figure out if Eren lived. But just I forgot Jean lived. Like, Jean. My nigga, I'm Yon Kapo, lived.
Hey.
I don't know. It was fun watching it again.
I can't remember who the fuck it was. I watched somebody's like reaction to Attack on Titan on YouTube, and they kept calling Onion Capone Onion Coupon.
Come on, son. Come on, man.
Oh my god.
That's racist. That feel racial.
That should feel if they was white, it might be racist. I can't remember.
It might be racial. But yeah, it was fun watching it again and like noticing stuff early. She noticed some stuff before I noticed it. She'd been doing that a lot with the stuff I show her. It gets a little bit annoying, but it was fun watching it again, seeing the journey, seeing the characters, watching story arcs like Reiner, for example. Like, his story was fantastic. Paid more attention to the stuff with him and Annie and characters like that. The Sasha stuff got me again. All the stuff around what happened with Sasha, and then with Gabby and the kids, was it Kaya?
Yeah.
So all that stuff got to me again. Just very well written stuff, man. Good story. I ain't trying to see that in no live action.
Nah.
But
fuck it up.
But enjoyable second time through. I did not expect to enjoy it as much as I did watching it again.
It's a beautiful piece of art, man. Make me want to rewatch it, to be quite honest, but I ain't gonna do that. I'm gonna watch an anime. I need to watch some more anime. I haven't watched any anime recently. So yeah, I gotta make that happen. I got Crunchyroll for a reason. I'm paying for it, might as well use it. So what else outside of that was better?
That's it. I think I'm gonna try to watch the Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare. Yeah. Oh, it's not it. Diara from Detroit. I told you about it. BT Plus show.
Mm-hmm.
I think the finale is this week.
Okay.
The finale of Shogun is this week as well.
I thought that was last. No, that is this week.
Well, I think the finale of Shogun aired the other day. I just
watch
it. Diara from Detroit, the finale comes this week. Show's been amazing, man. Like, I would get BET Plus just for the show.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I'm not doing it, but wow.
If you do the free trial and binge it, like, it's worth it.
How many episodes?
8.
Okay, that's not bad. Hour long?
40 minutes.
40 minutes, okay.
Yeah. Great show, great cast. Just a lot of fun. And I think for it to be kind of a murder mystery type situation, there's a lot of love interest type stuff, but it's like really, really complex love interest stuff.
Okay.
It's like I told you, the guy that like holds her up at gunpoint that she knows from childhood, like,
yes,
having a romance type angle, but he's like the street dude, but he got like the sensitive side too. Then you got her
BET shit.
Say what?
Nothing.
Then you got her husband, Morris Chestnut, lawyer.
Random.
He's a lawyer, but like he might be affiliated with some people too. He's affiliated in a legal way, not in a crazy way. Like, he knows.
So he's the lawyer for the criminals.
He's not, but he has associates who are.
Okay.
John Sally Pop makes an appearance at one point. Cash Doll makes an appearance. What's her name? Felicia Rashad. has a key role as well. It's a well cast, well done show, man. I don't want to say too much, but like she has like a neighbor friend who has a situation with her husband. They're going through some real stuff on the side. Like they fully fleshed out the side characters, which is fun.
Damn, Celtics fan is leaving. 40 seconds left down. Well, no, never mind. I'll leave too.
That boy Eric
14 assists. Ooh.
Who?
Tyler Hero.
That boy Eric Spoelstra ain't no joke.
Ain't no joke. Shout out to Eric B and Rakim.
You're not just going to roll past the Eric Spoelstra team.
At all. He going to get him one. He is going to get him one.
For sure.
Well, that does it for the Mavs Outsiders podcast, y'all. We roll on the game 3 Friday. By the time we come back next week, let's hope that the Mavs are up 3-1. At the very least, tied 2-2.
Okay.
I'll
live with it.
But we want a 3-1 lead. We want to get on to the next round. And hopefully, actually, by the time we record it next week, because do we, after Sunday, when's the next? Is it Tuesday?
It's Wednesday.
It is Wednesday.
Yeah, because I was trying to see where I was going to be when we recorded each game. Uh-huh. So Friday, I'll be back in the Augusta area. Sunday, I'll be there, obviously. And then Wednesday, I should be back home.
I don't know why it says to be determined, as if the game might not be played when the series is tied 2-2.
Game 5?
Yeah.
Does it have a time?
No, the time says to be determined.
Maybe that's why.
Maybe that's
why. Who else is going to be there? Who all going to be
there? Pelicans, Thunder. I hope we don't get the late game. Because there's going to be two games on at once.
Which game is that? 4 or 5?
5.
Oh, we all game five. Late as hell. Uh-huh. Late as hell.
But it's another West Coast game at that time.
What's the other West Coast game?
Pelicans and Thunder.
That's not West Coast. It's going to be
late. Close enough.
No, it ain't.
Damn.
It's 8 Central time.
We're going to get the 10 o'clock game, ain't we?
Central time. We're going to be 10 o'clock. Shit.
Oh, man. Rest in peace to my sleep that night.
What day of the week is that? Wednesday?
Wednesday.
That's going to be a long-ass day. Damn.
Anyway.
I got to present at work, so I definitely got to come home early, too. Fuck. We were probably not recording that night.
Absolutely not. With that being said, well, by the time we record next Thursday, let's hope that the Mavs have already advanced to the next round. All right. But that being said, signing off for Reese and Bibbs. We appreciate y'all for listening. We'll holler at y'all next week. Peace.
Peace.